So I am Rob O'Brien. I'm a graduate student in Steve Briggs' lab, and we are interested in the undifferentiated state of embryonic stem cells and identifying proteins and factors that are important for ES self-renewal and determining the mechanism with which they may act. So today I'm going to be talking about UTF-1, which is a gene that we identified from proteome profiling. Whose function has started to be, its role in embryonic stem cells has just recently started to be characterized by other groups. So UTF-1 is downstream of OCT4, SOX2, and NANOG. And this group initially identified UTF-1 as being a factor important for embryonic stem cell self-renewal by replacing OCT4 with it. Knocking out OCT4 and rescuing it with a mutant version of OCT6. When they do that, they find that the embryonic stem cells are able to remain pluripotent, but lose much of their ability to proliferate and self-renew. When they replace UTF-1, which had been downregulated and not activated by the mutant version of OCT6, self-renewal is restored due to an increase in the rate of proliferation of ES cells. More recently, a group from the Netherlands has done RNAi on UTF-1 and found that not only is self-renewal downregulated, but pluripotency is lost when UTF-1 is removed by RNAi. This all suggests that UTF-1 has an important role in embryonic stem cells, but the function of UTF-1 is still not well characterized. So we know that it's a ES cell-specific transcription factor. It has been reported to co-immunoprecipitate with activating transcription factor 2 and parts of the basal transcription machinery, the TF2D complex, has not been shown to be important, or has not been shown to actually regulate any genes in embryonic and mammalian cells, however. It's recently been reported to be tightly bound to chromatin, and it's known to be phosphorylated and unphosphorylated in ES cells and EC cells. So both species exist in undifferentiated embryonic stem cells. So I was first interested in identifying which domains of UTF-1 have phosphorylation in them and where the phosphorylation sites are distributed on UTF-1, and asking the question, are these sites conserved between mouse and human ES cells? So by proteome profiling, enriching for phosphoproteins, we identified we have identified 7 sites of phosphorylation on mouse ES cells. That's indicated by these dark red boxes. And in human UTF-1, we found 2 sites of phosphorylation that are conserved between the mouse and the human. Suggesting, and only one of these sites is in the domain that has been annotated as conserved, highly conserved region. So the question is, now that we've identified these sites of UTF-1 phosphorylation, is this important for UTF-1's function? So I've made UTF-1 mutants with either serines mutated to alanine so that phosphorylation can no longer occur, or serines mutated to glutamic acids to mimic constitutive phosphorylation of UTF-1. However, the rescue experiments are still in progress, and I don't have any data on whether this is functionally important at this time point. So the overall question that I have about UTF-1 is, how is it functioning to contribute to self-renewal? Like I said, it's already been shown to be important for ES self-renewal, but no one knows how it is. So it's been suggested in the literature that it's working as a transcriptional co-activator of activating transcription factor 2. And there have been reports that it actually does interact with ATF2 and bring it into contact with TF2D complex. So to confirm these observations and hopefully extend them, we performed immunoprecipitation on UTF-1 in embryonic stem cells, and then we have three control conditions, either using rabbit IgG in undifferentiated ES cells, which are expressing UTF-1, the UTF-1 antibody in MEFs, which do not have UTF-1, or the same control rabbit IgG in the MEFs, to identify what proteins UTF-1 is interacting with. And so we come up with a list of 99 proteins that are specifically only in UTF-1, the UTF-1 IP of embryonic stem cells. And then from those 99 proteins that come up uniquely, we filter by asking which of these proteins occur at similar ratios to the bait in both replicates, and which show up within a reasonable amount of intensity compared with UTF-1. And we have 10 proteins that meet these criteria. And 9 of these 10 proteins are RNA interacting proteins, several of which have already been annotated and reported to be important for proliferation of other cell types. So the eukaryotic initiation factor 1A has been shown to interact with other eukaryotic initiation factors to inhibit transcription. The TF2D complex, when it's RNAi'd, leads to an arrest at G2, at the G2 stage. And this is consistent with reports. Right? Doesn't seem to be. I don't know why this. OK. This is consistent with reports from the literature where cells deficient in UTF-1 have a reduced number of cells in G2M phase and is restored by ectopic expression of UTF-1. DDX5, again, RNAi of DDX5 in keratinocytes leads to a decrease in proliferation. And several of these other factors, such as the PDBP1, IGF-2 binding protein, are important in binding messenger RNA and regulating the expression of these genes post-transcriptionally. So again, of the proteins that show up as being interacting proteins with UTF-1, 9 of these 10 are RNA binding proteins involved in translational regulation. So my co-IP failed to confirm that ATF2 and TBP are interacting with UTF-1. And in fact, when I look more closely at the literature, the reports of the interactions of UTF-1 relied on co-IPing the interacting proteins and not UTF-1. When they do the IP with UTF-1, there have been no reports of actually being able to find interaction of ATF2 or TBP2 with UTF-1, suggesting that UTF-1 could be in a contaminant in these published reports and actually may have a different function from what has already been reported. And this is supported by our proteome profiling, where if we measure the percent coverage of UTF-1, or of all the proteins measured in our proteome profiling, we see that UTF-1 is one of the 10 most abundant proteins. So by measuring the percent coverage, we're normalizing for the size of the proteins and the number of peptides that one would expect to see from the profiling. So here I'd like to propose a model for what UTF-1 may be doing in undifferentiated cells. There are two different models, which I would like to then be able to test. So UTF-1 may be interacting with these RNA binding proteins to sequester not only the RNA interacting protein, but the mRNAs that are bound with those mRNA interacting proteins, preventing translation of those mRNA transcripts that have been produced by the cells. So the result of that model then would be less translation of the target genes when UTF-1 is present in undifferentiated cells. The other model would be that UTF-1 is sequestering these RNA interacting proteins, preventing them from binding the mRNAs, and allowing more transcription or translation of the proteins from the mRNAs, meaning that when UTF-1 is present, there will be more translation of target genes. So if we use our proteome profiling data and compare the ratios of the proteome profiling with the ratios of messenger RNA levels that have been measured already from published microarrays using the same experimental conditions, we can see that both there are two cases that would confirm either model. So we can't draw distinction between, we can't support either model. So these are ratios of undifferentiated of protein levels between undifferentiated and differentiated cells versus mRNA of differentiated versus differentiated cells, and then plotted against each other. So this first top panel here would be support the first condition, the first model, where UTF-1 sequesters the mRNAs, preventing translation, meaning that the messenger RNA levels are up. I'm sorry, I have the other way. The messenger RNA levels are up, however, the protein levels are either unchanged or down in the undifferentiated cells. Or this other panel here would support the second model, where the UTF-1 is sequestering the interactor, meaning that the messenger RNA levels are down in undifferentiated cells compared with the protein levels. So then, conclusions. RNA interacts with translational regulators and may be functioning as a translational regulator. I was not able to confirm interactions with transcriptional regulators that had already been reported to be interacting with UTF-1. And mouse and human UTF-1 are phosphorylated in two conserved sites. However, mouse UTF-1 is more heavily phosphorylated than human UTF-1. And so I would like to thank my mentor, Steve Briggs, and everyone in the Briggs Lab, Kiyoshi Tachikawa, Joshen Shen, he did the mass spectrometry, and Angel Lee provided data on human embryonic stem cells, and also my thesis committee, so Carl Willert, Yang Zhu, Case Muir, and everyone on the CIRM training grant, and especially Jennifer Broswell and Larry Goldstein. Thank you.
Questions?
Do you know if UTF-1 responds to any signals that, or how does UTF sense other signals, if it does, that influence pluripotency, stemness, any of the attributes we think about for stem cells?
Right. So, I haven't been able to see a difference in either phosphorylation or UTF-1 levels in undifferentiated ES cells. I haven't done any experiments with, say, different treatments of signals to bring the cells down a different lineage. The experiments from the profiling have just been undifferentiated cells versus differentiated cells. And so when the cells differentiate, UTF-1 goes away very quickly. In fact, it's a very good marker of the undifferentiated state. And so whether, say, the phosphorylation could be an intermediate state, you know, maybe responsible for downregulating UTF-1, I still don't know. But presumably, the kinase acting on UTF-1 is doing something, because not all of UTF-1 is being phosphorylated. So you do see both species in the undifferentiated cells.
In yeast, and so that in multicellular organisms, it acquires some kind of regulatory phenotype. And I was also wondering if you tried, when you look at your anti-UTF-1 IPs, if you've subjected that to different sort of try to refract that along like an ionic strength, a dielectric constant type of line to see that those 10 proteins are always there.
Right. So the first question regarding whether UTF-1 is part of a complex in yeast, it's actually not. There is no homolog in yeast. It's specific to mammalian, and it's also in chicken, but there are no homologs that have been identified in yeast. And as far as testing the 10 interactors, rather than go for different ionic strengths or cross-linking or any of these different methods of IP, I'm going to be tagging UTF-1 and using an independent antibody to first confirm that these interactions are real, and then from there do reciprocal co-IPs.
Just a quick question. I was wondering, has anybody reported its role in malignancy?
Malignancy. So it is expressed in embryonal carcinoma cells, which are a cancer of the testis. Not that I know of. Now, because it's downstream of OCT4 SOX2, there have been reports of OCT4 SOX2 and even NANOG expression in breast cancer and I'm sure other cancers. So whether UTF-1 is causing those malignancies, that no one has looked into.
And hematopoietic stem cells, do they express them?
They do not, no. So it's being directly regulated by OCT4 SOX2 NANOG. If those are not there, then the cells do not express it.
Thank you.